On December 8, 1972, proud papa of Frank Jr. and Nicolette, doting grandfather of Poppy, and the man who literally saved my life with the Heimlich maneuver, Frank the legend Shamrock was born. Oh yeah, he also happens to be a trailblazer in mixed martial arts, the first fighter to hold the UFC middleweight championship, later renamed the UFC light heavyweight title. He was the number one ranked pound for pound MMA fighter on the planet in the 90s. And if you don't know, now you know. He was one of the first complete mixed martial artists, having adapted his game from a ground-focused style of fighting to a more well-rounded and versatile style. He used his brain as much as his brawn to outlast the favored Tito Ortiz in an early UFC classic at UFC 22 in September 1999 in Lake Charles, Louisiana, after which he walked away from the octagon, an undefeated legend. And it really is wild how life works. In his first pro fight in 1994, for Pancrase in Japan, Frank beat future UFC heavyweight champion Boss Rutten, the man who would be responsible for my biggest break in broadcasting in 2003 when he recommended me as his broadcast partner for the iconic Pride Fighting Championships in the land of the rising sun. The circle of life. Anyway, huge happy birthday to the one and only Frank the legend Shamrock. Thank you for sticking with me on my mental health journey and helping me achieve my dreams professionally, personally, and otherwise. And again, so many, whatever you want to call them. He was born in Santa Monica, California, becoming a fan of Three's Company in the 70s. I always wanted to live in Santa Monica. Never thought I could afford to live in Santa Monica, but thanks to Mr. Shamrock's business acumen and his ability to network and create relationships and truly be a sensei of life, I am living the dream. So again, thank you very much. I hope that you and I, Mr. Shamrock, can take a psilocybin trip powered by Piaggio soon. The third wheel gives it its sex appeal. Hey, once you reach our age, a nap can help us maintain whatever sex appeal we have. However, finding the best nap length can be the trickiest part of a midday snooze. Is 20 minutes okay? What about 30? Or even 60? Researchers say in order to make waking easy and prevent your afternoon siesta from affecting your bedtime, your power naps should be short and sweet. The experts say short power naps can give your brain a boost, allowing you to better problem solve, concentrate, and make decisions. Once you hit the 30-minute mark, you run the risk of experiencing sleep inertia. This is when you awake feeling groggy and exhausted, despite having slept. Sounds like my brother Romulo, who suffers from a severe case of sleep apnea. So I'm sure he'll be in and out of dreamland for the long journey he'll be taking from Vancouver to Bangkok, Thailand over the holiday season. One night in Bangkok, and the world's your oyster. You just heard a Morologue music reference. Speaking of Thailand, a 22-year-old tourist was busted in that country for attempting to smuggle two otters and a prairie dog through airport security in his pants. Authorities noticed an abnormally large bulge and sent him over to be screened via X-ray. It was there that the three critters were discovered, stuffed in socks and taped to his boxer shorts. The smuggler was decredited, detained, and he now faces charges for violating Thailand's Customs Act, Animal Epidemics Act, and Animal Conservation and Protection Act. The animals were handed over to the Wildlife Conservation Office. Excuse me, sir, but are those three animals in your pants, or are you just happy to see me? I know my fair lady, Florida Maria, is happy, happy, happy that it's the holiday season. Christmas trees are a massive business, with 3,000 tree farms across the United States selling on the order of 12 million trees per year, and another 3 million natural trees imported each year on top of that, in addition to the overwhelming 20 million artificial trees imported annually as well. The price of an imported tree, artificial or natural, at wholesale prices was $22 last year, so given that the general price range for a tree was between $80 and $100 in 2022, that would indicate that your typical markup on a Christmas tree is something like 400 to 500%. Across 15 million natural trees and 20 million artificial trees sold, you're talking a $3 billion annual business in trees. And here they're trying to convince us that money doesn't grow on trees. Well, with billions more spent on the wrapped toys under the tree, and when we are on the subject of toys, I need to mention to you this story I just came across recently that warmed the cockles of my heart. Occupational therapy students at Thomas Jefferson University, under the guidance of adjunct professor Zach Samalonis, recently undertook a project to enhance the accessibility of toys for children with disabilities. Their focus was on a dome-shaped lantern with intricate light projections activated by small, hard-to-press buttons. Recognizing the challenge this presented for children with limited dexterity, Samalonis and his students embarked on a mission to transform these toys into inclusive and user-friendly devices. The solution involved disassembling the lanterns and replacing the original buttons with large 3D printed alternatives that could be easily activated with minimal force. To execute this project, the students utilized open source plans provided by Makers Making Change, a nonprofit organization based in my native, beautiful British Columbia. And a mega Morlog shout out to those at Makers Making Change, and everyone involved in this project, for that matter. The collaborative effort extended further as the modified toys were handed over to representatives from TechOwl, an assistive technology program at Temple University, for distribution to children in the Philadelphia area. This collaborative effort between Jefferson students, Makers Making Change, and TechOwl exemplifies the intersection of education, innovation, and inclusivity, making strides toward creating a more accessible and equitable environment for children with disabilities during the festive season and beyond. And of course, bright colors are associated with the festive season. But are you ready to see a lot of peach fuzz? I'm not talking about boys reaching puberty. The color mavens at Pantone have anointed peach fuzz, otherwise known as Pantone 13-1023, as 2024's color of the year. Pantone describes the hue as a velvety, gentle peach tone whose all-embracing spirit enriches mind, body, and soul. And you can expect to see it everywhere, from bridesmaid dresses to cell phones. Hey, what about my boy Mario's crush, Princess Peach? Will she be wearing peach fuzz in 2024?
Mamma mia!
On this day in December 8, 1940, the Bears, the Redskins, they faced off and, well, it turned into one of the most lopsided NFL championship games ever played. The Bears beat the Redskins, who are now known as the Commanders. Well, they were done 73-0. Chicago walloped Washington, the largest margin of defeat in NFL history. The first touchdown was scored within a minute of play, and the Bears never looked back. And I'm going to stick with the Bears for a minute, or at least the name Bears. Cody Two Bears, he's a member of the Sioux Tribe in North Dakota. He founded Indigenized Energy. It's a native-led energy company with a unique mission, installing solar farms for tribal nations in the United States. This initiative arises from the historical reliance of Native Americans on the U.S. government for power, a paradigm that is gradually shifting. The spark for Two Bears' vision ignited during the Standing Rock protests in 2016, where he witnessed the arrest of a fellow protester during efforts to prevent the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline on sacred tribal land. Disturbed by the status quo, Two Bears decided to channel his activism into action and create tangible change. His company, Indigenized Energy, addresses a critical issue faced by many reservations: poverty and lack of access to basic power. Reservations are among the poorest communities in the country, and in some, like the Navajo Nation, many homes lack electricity. Even in regions where the land has been exploited for coal and uranium, residents face obstacles to accessing power. Renewable energy, specifically solar power, is a beacon of hope for tribes seeking to overcome these challenges. Not only does it present an environmentally sustainable option, but it has become the most cost-effective form of energy globally, thanks in part to incentives like the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Tribal nations can receive tax subsidies of up to 30% for solar and wind farms, along with grants for electrification, climate resiliency, and energy generation. And Indigenized Energy is not focused solely on installing solar farms. It also emphasizes community empowerment through education and skill development. In collaboration with organizations like Red Cloud Renewable, efforts are underway to train indigenous tribal members for jobs in the renewable energy sector. The program provides free training to individuals with a focus on solar installation skills. Graduates ranging from late teens to late 50s receive pre-apprenticeship certification, and the organization is planning to launch additional programs to support graduates with career services such as resume building and interview coaching. The adoption of solar power by Native communities signifies progress toward sustainable development, cultural preservation, and economic self-determination, contributing to a more equitable and environmentally conscious future. These initiatives are part of a broader movement toward energy sovereignty, wherein tribes strive to have control over their own power sources. This movement represents not only an economic opportunity and a source of jobs for these communities, but also a means of reclaiming control over their land and resources, signifying a departure from historical exploitation and an embrace of sustainable practices deeply rooted in indigenous cultures. Well, on December 8, 2013, a decade ago, 10 years ago today, Metallica became the first band to perform on all 7 continents with Freeze 'Em All, a concert near Argentine Antarctic Research Station Carlini Base, attended by 120 people. Pals of the podcast, the Rick Kardashians and the Bosnian Stone, I know they're avid tennis folks, so they will be interested to know that Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich was a highly ranked tennis player growing up in his native Denmark. Yeah, he went from using a racket to making one. I could have used a rim shot there, Mr. Ulrich. Nicki Minaj is giving her fans a gift for her 41st birthday today. The sequel to her debut album that topped the USA Billboard 200 chart in 2010, Pink Friday 2, has dropped. Last year, she achieved her first solo number one with Super Freaky Girl, the lead single from her 5th studio album. Nicki Minaj has 23 top 10 singles in the U.S., the most for any female rapper, with 6 of those being solo songs. I am going to leave you with the keyboard warrior version of one of the 22 songs on Pink Friday 2, Last Time I Saw You. Today's Morovation comes from American motivational writer William Arthur Ward, who wrote, You've been given the gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? Thank you for listening to The Morologue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, Mora Juana is the shit.